Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub app.
Now.
Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Game 7 happens tonight. You got a prediction on the game, Dan? How you feeling today about the Bruins?
Oh, I'll say Bruins win. Safer thing to say. It's weird. There's like nothing to choose in this series, really. I mean, I guess marginally, Toronto's played a little better. But, you know,
yes, they have.
Goals, the scores, everything's been kind of even Steven, as you would say. There's no, like,
you
no
keep
goalie.
To it.
Can I tell you that if tonight if the Bruins win, they win the game and they win the series, but you can make the case that it was played to a draw? Because to this point, Toronto's played, I think, a better series than the Bruins have.
Yeah.
And if they were to lose the series and the Bruins play a better game tonight, I mean, it's hard to make the case that they had a better overall series than the Maple Leafs did. So I'm going to call it a draw, even if the Bruins win.
And the weird part is, it really feels like there's a lot on the line because the path to the finals is there and the path to winning the Cup is there. Because the Bruins have the best record of any team still standing.
There is a path of least resistance that is arriving and showing up.
It's very patriot-like. The tomato, they all
fall down.
Very
patriot-like.
Yeah, they all fall down.
Just hope it doesn't, because you give hockey late in May with the hot weather out there. The ice
make
would
it
just
tough
be
with the surface.
Soupy. Yeah.
So speaking of the ice, Bruce Cassidy has weighed in naturally today after all these reports and comments about the ice. Here's the head coach.
Well, it's the same for both teams, right? So, that's an equalizer. I suspect it'll be better. I think some of it had to do with we're managing Celtics games with, so I assume... Oh. Listen, I'm not an agronomist, this is to do with the golf term and grass, but I don't know what the term for ice is. But I don't know how much that affects the weather outside.
Fescue.
I assume affects. I know there's
some. He's right. Fescue.
What is it called?
Hardy, do you know what that is?
Did he say an agronomist?
Yes.
Agronomist and wolf.
Like agriculturally speaking, agronomist?
I've never heard that word.
I'm the grass guy.
An agronomist is an expert in the science of soil management and crop production.
Wow. Agronomist with an A. I thought it was an E, but it's A. Agriculture.
Yeah, smart hockey guy.
Agronomist. Right.
But, I mean, he's ultimately admitting it's a bad playing surface. Like, they're addressing it, which is like, it's unusual. Instead of just saying, hey, we just go out and play our game. It'll be fine. It's like, we have to deal with it. They have to deal with it.
Yeah.
So he's admitting it's bad.
Listen, I'm not an agronomist, this is to do with the golf term and grass, but I don't know what the term for ice is. But I don't know how much that affects it. The weather outside, I assume, affects. I know there's some construction. There's all those things. I guess the short answer is just
right
now.
Wait a minute.
What the hell is that? Construction?
Who opened the door?
Construction?
Well, it's never ending out there.
I know it's never ending. What does that have to do with the ice?
I think more doors open. More doors open.
Is that new open entry from the front causing more air to get into the building?
Shooting in. It was very humid on Friday.
Shooting in there?
Yeah. I go along with that.
I go along with that. Shaughnessy approves. Oh, no, I get
I'm
what
not an agronomist.
Oh, no. Construction, absolutely. Absolutely, Bruce. Totally agree.
I guess the short answer, which is too late now, is I assume our crew will do their best they can to get it up to speed, given they've got a little better circumstances to work with. Seeing the Celtics have clinched and we haven't been flipping the floor back and forth.
Is he putting on the pool gang?
He's putting on the pool gang. No, I think he's putting it on the just the fact that there's been a lot going on there.
Yeah.
But he does not say at any one point there that the ice is good. He's pretty much telling you it sucks.
When's the last time Celtics played here?
It's been when was game two?
It's a week.
It was like a week ago.
Yeah. So I think you've had plenty of time here to get this ice right. So it shouldn't be about flipping. Yeah. Damn, it was about 6 days ago.
No concerts there. It's not.
That's it.
Last Wednesday. So
yeah. But again, as Hardy has said many, many times now, it's less about that and more about the weather.
Thank you.
More about weather. More about
that is my belief.
More about the conditions and apparently construction now.
Causeway
has something to do with that.
You ever have work done on your house?
Yeah, sure.
Guys in and out all the time.
Yeah.
They just prop the door open.
Right.
What do you think they're doing there at the garden?
See?
Yeah, but doors are always open at the garden.
Got them all propped open, carrying stuff
it's
in and out.
Construction.
Tar buckets and whatnot.
Put the paper down so you don't walk on the carpet.
Yeah.
They put that paper.
All that humidity flowing into the building. Yeah.
I'm not a hockey expert, but can I ask a question?
No.
Why wouldn't... No, all right, never mind.
I'm just kidding.
Why wouldn't they have morning skate at the garden instead of Warrior, if the ice is a concern? Just to see what the ice is like.
Because they wouldn't want them on the ice to damage the ice
it's
any
more
further.
Doors
the Leafs do that. Don't the Leafs do their skate at the
garden?
They're not
team.
They're not changing their routine.
They're not going to change their routine
they've
now.
They've lost the last two home games, right? Or no, they've lost two out of the last three home
two
games.
Two out of three.
You don't change what you do.
Don't.
It's just another hockey
Plus,
game.
Plus, it's more doors opening. They use that.
More body heat on the ice.
That's right. Now you want to open the door for the Bruins to walk in,
another
too.
30 times that door opens and shuts?
Yeah.
Who needs that?
Well, they get out there, a half hour before the game? They're like, oh, this is terrible. They would have known all day that it was going to be terrible.
So what do you do? Sit there all day and then mentally get ready for terrible ice?
Yeah.
Then you dwell on it. I wouldn't want them near the ice. That's like enough to think about. It's like a built-in excuse if things go bad. Oh, we couldn't control the puck because the ice.
Now we hear from Matt Grizzlick, who has a parent
rooting interest.
His dad on the Bull Gang may know a little something about the ice. Okay. What's Grizzlick have to say?
I mean, that's what I guess you can expect this time of year, the ice to be pretty choppy. So we're just going to go out there and give our best effort and see what happens.
Just because he's fighting it this time of year with ruined Celtics and all that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot going on in the building. So
who's Darth Vader?
If it acts up again, we'll have another word with him.
But no tennis balls in the equipment.
No, not that I know of.
Did anyone say to him, what's your dad think?
No, obviously not.
He's talking about it. I'll have another conversation with him.
Did anyone put it to him like that? What's your dad think about this?
Must have been something in there because that was his answer.
Yeah, what's your dad saying about
another
this?
Conversation with
Can
him
we go back it? Further on it? Did we miss the first part of that?
I don't know.
What Darth Vader talk there.
It's the time of year. It's very humid out. It's warm.
We've done a lot of broadcasts at the Garden over the years. I wish we were there today for the sole fact that we could get Zoe out there
to do an ice test.
Yeah.
Propping the door open.
Felger and Maz there today?
I believe they are.
They'll probably do something wacky like that, won't they?
No.
Send someone to check out the ice
conditions? No, I don't think that'll
conditions?
Happen.
Well, truthfully, being on the ninth level is usually a really cold experience, and it was not bad at all on Friday. So I'm thinking, and that's where the blowers, presumably go down the ice. So they weren't making it as uncomfortable
for us. I don't know if there's any blowers coming down from level 9
you don't
from
think?
The ceiling down to keep the ice cool.
What about the dehumidifiers, though, that you spoke of earlier?
I didn't speak of any dehumidifiers.
The ninth level was not as cold as usual.
I'd suck it a lot.
No, because it's warmer outside.
Ooh. What was the one stadium you were in you had to buy a blanket?
Oh, it was blowing
down.
New Orleans.
Oh, New Orleans.
Oh, my God. I went and bought a blanket for like $50. I tried to expense that, too. I can't remember if that worked.
Do you still have it?
No, I gave it to Goodwill, but I didn't feel right about it. Plus, it was New Orleans Saints. It was hideous.
You hear that? Potential burglars? There's no New Orleans blanket on the Shaughnessy.
I bought it during the game. I was freezing.
I
expensed it, and then I wrote it off.
Cat burglars beware. No blanket to be had on the Shaughnessy compound.
Think about that in concessions, though. Yeah, let's stock the team pro shop here with blankets since we're in a dome in New Orleans.
Freezing there. I was right. It was bad.
Mm. I remember you bitching about that.
617-779-0985. Let's get back to your calls coming up right after this. The action update and Dan's dates, don't forget, at 12:50.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at bostonscores.org/Noah.
First, our introduction.
Zolak Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
scrambled for the puck. 2 seconds left. Coyle's got it, and the horn is going to sound. Can you smell that? Can you smell it? It's a game seven.
It's exciting. Game seven, you know. So what do you play for, you know, everything online?
Like it's do or die, and it's about playing a good, sound hockey game that's right in front of you.
I think obviously it's a battle of will out there, especially more so in game seven. You know, it's whatever it takes.
Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide.
Bruins with a puck, chip it out in front, fired, they score! Charlie Coyle! Pastrnak into the slot, feeds Marchand, shoots, he scores! Gusted as Wagner came in and just labeled Frederick Gauthier, he buried it! Tie up. Marchand shoots. He scores!
Here I come.
Centers deflected. They score! Jake DeBrusk!
Here I come.
These two teams are going to play a game seven, and it's going to take place at TD Garden.
Game 7 tonight at the Garden. You can hear it live right here on 98.5 The Sports. Up, Dan Shaughnessy with us here on Zolak and Bertrand. Let's get back to your calls. Shukri is in Brighton. Shukri.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Where? I
wanted to chime in on the Garden ice on comment that Brad Marchand made. Mm-hmm. I am a member of the Bull Gang at TD Garden.
Right.
And I wanted to point out something very important that most people don't know. This goes back to last month, March. Like March was a very busy month at the Garden, where obviously the Celtics having home games there as well, but there were also concerts. So the ice itself has taken a beating, and it doesn't happen overnight. So with the freeance of the schedule at the Garden, especially within the last week and a half, given that the Celtics finished their series very early, it has opened the window of opportunity for the ice to, you know, to have some rehab work done. But, I mean, as a member of the Bull Gang, I'm not taking it personal, but I think what he doesn't understand and realize is that because of there are other events, including the Celtics and concerts, that ice does take a beating, and it does take time to really rehab. So with the clearance and schedule over the last week at the Garden with the lack of events, the ice should be in pretty good condition for Game 7 tonight.
Who is who's in charge of the ice? You know, is there one person that runs it?
Yeah, like the ice manager.
Is sort of charged with making sure the ice is in good shape? Or is it everybody?
Honestly, I'm not 100% sure who it is, but my supervisor, John Ribello, he's the one who drives the Zamboni on the ice at the Garden. So, but I'm not 100% sure who's responsible for making
the
ice.
He's got the white hair, right?
No, he doesn't have white hair per se, but if you ever go to a game at the Garden and you see like the Zamboni driver, that would be him, primarily driving like before, like the start of the game and even during the intermission period.
All right, then.
Well, we got names now.
Do you think the Zambonis have anything to do with it?
Here's what I don't understand.
I honestly don't think it does. What it does is it resurfaces the ice, but as for the quality, I highly doubt that it does, but I'm not 100% sure, but I don't think it does.
And maybe this sounds extremely simple, but I don't understand. I just don't like take a hose or like add water and let it freeze flat and then glaze over it with the Zamboni. I don't understand why there would still be grooves in that ice. I mean, it's ice.
I don't know. Shukri, you'd know better than us.
I'm not 100% sure as to why there'll be issues, but as I mentioned,
it freezes. I mean,
it's true, but sometimes it's not necessarily as simple as that, especially if you have a lot of foot traffic on the panels that's put on top of the ice to protect the integrity.
What's your supervisor's name again?
John Ribello.
Yeah.
Junior.
You got an email?
I don't know. We'll try and look him up.
Anything about the construction?
No, he didn't say anything about the construction.
Doors open.
Towards that
the guys in yellow hats walking around
I don't
lunch pails.
About that either. I googled him. He checks out. By the way,
you know what I
Ribello?
Call?
No, Shukri.
I
am Ribello. Both of them.
You got a lot of information there, but just he pretty much followed everything up with, I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, I know.
He's calling to give us information, but he's not
100%. I don't know if there's anything he's 100% sure about, but...
Including the hair color of his boss.
But he thinks the ice
sometimes,
tonight...
Sometimes, but like if the light hits it a certain way, you know, it could be a light brown.
He thinks the hair would be... he thinks the hair...
That's tough, though. Beetle, look at me.
The ice would be a lot better tonight.
Just look at me. What color is Zolak's hair?
You just looked at him.
It's a brownish gold.
I'm not 100% sure about that. It's kind of brown. It's kind of, I don't know. He's got the frosted tips. I don't know.
How's your hair?
Depends on what time of year it is. It's brown.
Mine's you get that salt and pepper type beard.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Quit looking at me, Hardy.
I don't know. I don't even know. It's a color not even found on the spectrum.
Mark is in Medford. Mark.
So, something special.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
What's up?
Hey, you wonder if the Bruins win tonight, what'll be going through John Tavares's mind? Because, you know, no one's been talking about it, but he's pretty much been non-existent in this series. And you think he'd be second-guessing himself on which team he decided to go to. Because after all, the Bruins did offer him the same amount of money. He just elected to go home.
I think the money would be going through his mind. It's paid. Yeah? I don't know if it bugs him. You get popped tonight? Does it bug you? Hey, you lost in seven games. A seven-game series, you know?
Yeah.
You went game seven. You get your ass swept, I would think it'd be bugging guys like Stamkos and guys like Crosby a little bit more.
You know,
high intel like that.
His former team,
your ass got swept.
Mark, his former team is already on to the second round. So if he loses tonight, why would it be so much about the Bruins as much so about his former team in the Islanders? Why'd you leave? You left. They still went to the playoffs and advance to the second round without you.
Everyone in Toronto is going to have to wear this if they lose because, again, they're lugging around 15 years without winning a series.
What if he wins?
The close calls, then you know.
What if he has two tonight?
It's a big deal. Big deal back home.
Question. Oh, that caller dropped off.
Same way we're talking about Pasternak there. You got to get it cranked up. Get it cranked up. That first line's killing him. Then boom.
Any of you guys know the last time a Canadian team won the Cup?
59, is that the year?
No, the last time that...
a Canadian team would have been...
Any team from Canada. They are on a 26-year drought.
Is it Vancouver?
As a country. No, it's Montreal in 93. The country...
Has Vancouver ever won a cup?
No. The Rangers got them and the Bruins got them.
Right.
But, I mean, again, the country, it's really important there, and they are 0 for 26 years. They have six franchises now, right? So that's not good.
Montreal 93?
That's it. Last one.
Patrick Wall.
And these guys since 67. Toronto since 67. And no playoff series wins in 15 years.
Allen's in Florida on the Red Sox, who just announced that surgery was successful for Nathan Eovaldi. What's up, Allen?
That's good. I have a question. First of all, Dan, you know, as a journalist, you know, it's not brain surgery what you write, but you have to have some integrity. I think you write for the best newspaper in the country. But, I mean, you check your sources and you have to know a little bit of what you're talking about. Am I correct?
Yeah, where are we going here?
I want to find out if you feel the same way on television. In other words, do you think you get on one of these shows and it's humorous and so on? And I'm not talking. So I'm making a long story short. I'm just curious. I think Zoe and Beetle feel are like that. How would you feel if, for instance, a guy said...
How do I feel about what?
I don't know exactly what you're saying.
I don't know. Let him ask.
How would you feel? What would you think about a show where a guy says, the Red Sox... No way will they make the playoffs, and then couldn't tell you who would make it as a wild card instead of them. How about a guy that would pick Oakland to beat the Red Sox and then say, couldn't name one player on the team? I mean, do you feel that, would you guys do something like that?
Is he taking a shot at
me? I don't think we've done that.
Is he taking a shot at me?
No, I'm talking about a guy like Murray, I mean, who shouldn't even be on the air.
I knew it was going somewhere. I knew there was a hitch up in there. So it's Murray. Yeah. So you're upset with Murray.
It's usually Mavs.
Just glad it's not me.
I don't know if I can watch the show anymore. I mean, you got to have a little integrity. I mean, you know, advertisers listen to what's on the air. I mean, you can't be that stupid.
They're doing pretty good, Allen. I mean, you watch. You know exactly what they say.
Allen, I still think they're making the playoffs, my friend.
I agree 100. No,
me too.
Of course they're going to make the playoffs.
So does Shaughnessy. We think they're going to the playoffs.
All of our integrity stands behind that.
Yes. Damn Murray.
No, I know you're trying to be funny, but Dan, would you ever get on and say the Red Sox are going to lose to Oakland and not name one player on the whole team? I don't think so. I don't think you would do that. You know,
probably done worse.
I just finished, by the way, You know who my best baseball coach was, Dan? Howie Ferguson. There you go.
Oh, there you go. Howard Ferguson Field, Newton High School, Newton North.
Absolutely. I read that book my senior year and brought back a lot of memories to me, too.
Thanks very much. I appreciate
that. All right,
that.
Dan.
Howard Ferguson Field in Newton.
All right, Alan. Take it easy. You just wanted to call him crap on Murray?
You know, I didn't know where. I thought it was going to be me, and I was ready for it.
Hey, speaking of baseball, Dan, Francona always had that thing about Game 7 with you there.
Oh, my God. We used it. It's on the internet today, on the internet version of the column.
Yeah.
I mean, he took that the right way.
Was it you asked the question?
So it was Cubs, yeah, right. Cubs-Indians, Game 7 of the World Series, and there's a mandated press conference that they have to do.
Tell you what, Dan, we'll play the sound of it.
Oh, thank you.
We'll play the sound of it coming up right after these headlines with Hardy.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at bostonscores.org/Noah.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zo and Bertrand.
Would you call this a must-win game?
Or no.
Coach?
Well, I never would have thought the day I'd see that you brought levity to my day.
Oh, Francona and Shaughnessy, best of buds.
I waited my whole life to do that, to ask the must-win question when it actually was. It was the 7th game of the World Series. And they make him do with his pregame thing, it's a dummy press conference. And what can you say before the 7th game of the World Series? So I said, what is the stupidest thing I could do here? And I know he's going to take it the right way because we had already done the book and we were good.
Because you had already put money in his pocket.
Right. I mean, if I had asked that like 5 years earlier, it probably wouldn't have been the same response.
Shut up, Sean.
Like asking Bill, you know, like you just don't want to do that. But yes, so the one time it applies, it's a must-win game for both teams, is a Game 7.
Must-win tonight.
Is this. We got it.
Would you call this a must-win game?
No. That's taking it the right way.
Must win game.
It is.
That is Terry Francona as manager of the Indians talking to you. 617-779-0985, the telephone number. It is a must win game for the Bruins tonight against the Maple Leafs. Dan's date's coming up in about 10 minutes. We also have some information we will share on the referees coming up. Jill is in Norwood today. Hi, Jill.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Hi.
So last year, I want to say it was right around in mid-March, the first game that Ryan Donato got his first goal at the Garden. We were 2 rows back from the ice, and we took pictures. And I think the game before, Corrali or DeBrusk broke their ankle in that same corner. We were in the face-off circle outside of the net. And there's a good, solid half-inch rut. And we have pictures of it. Do you have a cell phone we can send it to?
Why don't you give out your cell phone number?
Yeah.
I'm sorry,
I missed that, guys.
Okay. Come on.
We believe you.
You know what? Why don't you email it to me, Zo at 985thesportshub.com.
Done. There you go.
That simple.
Or send him a text message at...
Hey.
If we can see that rut.
508.
That's the wrong area code.
994.
No.
555-1212.
What's yours? 617-931? Is that even right?
I think it's not.
Is that part of the first little bit?
Mark is in Bolton on the Patriots from earlier. Hi, Mark.
Hey, I'm a 50-year season ticket holder with the Pats, and nice. I think they're dying to dupe the Giants to move the 37th pick in the second round. Yesterday, I have a little-known blogger having Will Greer to the Pats at 32. Today, you have Jason Lockenfora sending the Duke Daniel Jones to the Pats at 32. Both of those players are linked to the Giants.
So you think they're going to swap the pick out and give it to the Giants?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, if the Giants have one of those guys so circled as being the guy, if you're that in on Daniel Jones, or if you're that in on Will Greer, then why don't you take it at 6 or 17? What are you waiting at 32 to lose your guy for? You know what I mean?
Because...
If you're going to have to give up all these type of picks to get up to get 32.
Who says you are? If you're moving from 37.
Yeah.
Right? So you swap back, you push back 5 slots, and in exchange, you pick up
I understand, but I mean, it's like the Todd McShay.
What would you
point.
Get?
Like,
what would you get for moving up five spots or moving back five spots if you're the Patriots?
A four? A three?
A three?
Yeah.
That's such a Belichick move. You could totally see that happening.
Plus, he loves the Giants.
You could absolutely see that happening. By the way, we talked about the Robert Kraft case earlier. There's actually more news on that.
Oh.
So last week when the prosecutors said they were going to release the tape.
Yeah.
And then they had to get a judge who ruled, no, you cannot release the tape until you have a hearing on whether or not you can release the tape.
What now?
Well, now they had the hearing and now they've issued an actual order blocking the release of the tape. Wow. So nothing has changed. However, there's been some Judge Leonard Hanser. The names in this case agreed with Kraft and said they issued a protective order that prevents the videos from being released to the Boston Globe and other news organizations, as would routinely occur under Florida public records law. His order has some limitations, though, Dan. This from the Boston Globe. He ruled that the tapes will not be released until a jury is sworn if Kraft takes his two misdemeanor charges of soliciting prostitution to a trial. So if he takes it to a trial and they swear the jury in, that's it. The prosecutors are free to release the tape.
Again, more incentive.
Wouldn't that be incentive to not let this get to a trial?
More incentive to just, like, roll over in this thing.
It says prosecutors decline to pursue charges. That would be another way that it would be released.
They just want him to, like, own it and go away. That's what they're doing. And the judge is helping him there.
Which means if the prosecutors decline charges and drop the case, the tape could then also be released.
I'm sorry, you lost me there.
Yeah. Okay, these are the ways in which the tape could be released. He ruled that the tapes will not be released until a jury is sworn. If Kraft takes his two misdemeanor charges of soliciting prostitution to a trial, prosecutors decline to press charges, or any other time at which the court finds the fair trial rights of the defendant are not at risk after notice to the parties and hearing thereon. Which means those are the three ways that they could release it. He goes to a trial with a jury. Prosecutors decide no charges, therefore it's now open somehow, some way, or the court re-rules on it and says, no, you can release it because the fair trial rights of the defendant are not at risk.
What's
this? Doesn't that put him in the box of you have to now take a plea deal? Isn't that the way that sort of sets up there?
Which is what they've been trying to do all along.
Unless someone has misinterpreted what the judge ruled in this case.
But then again, that's a story with the headline feels like it's good for Kraft, but it's actually not.
It may not be. And that's what, I remember Daniel Wallach at the very beginning saying, well, if charges are dropped, that tape, there still has to be a ruling to seal that tape because that tape could still be, released.
Weird.
The tape.
It's so back and forth.
Paulie in the truck on the wide receiver situation with the Patriots.
Hey, Paulie.
Yeah, I got a few things today, boys. Keep me on now. Don't cut me off.
You like Hollywood Brown? You want Hollywood Brown?
No. Deebo Samuel. If he falls to 32, man, that is tempting. I love that kid. I love the way he plays. In terms of the ice at the Garden, you should be fine tonight. We're at the mercy of nature, and which is why I wish they backed these playoffs up to the second week in March instead of the second week in April. You know, pack ball games into the regular season if you still have an 82-84-game season, And I want to loop back to a phone call last time I spoke to you guys. I want to straighten a couple things out. You guys, it can be the fountain of misinformation. Start with you, Zolak. Zolak, when I walked into that, got off the plane, dropped my bags in my hotel, middle of the day on Wednesday, came and saw you in the team hotel.
I'll tell you exactly what you were wearing and what you had in your hand.
I didn't have a cup of Dunkin' Donuts coffee in my hands, Zolak. I don't drink Dunkin' Donuts coffee.
You had a styrofoam cup in your hand.
I had a jacket in my hands, Zolak. I was not drinking.
You had a white styrofoam cup. I don't forget things. I have photographic memory. You had a yellow rain slicker. You look like the cat, the Morton Fisherman guy in the boat. Schlepping fish out of a trap.
Zoe sent us a picture of you from that lobby. You still have the picture on your phone?
I probably don't.
Do you remember that? He said
I had a jacket in my hand.
Gordon's
a jacket. I was not drinking. I had a drink with some.
I don't care if you're drinking. It was in a bar. You had everybody in the mother.
After they gave me a couple of tickets to the game at a fair price, I'll tell you that. Yeah, I was at. I had a good time with Chad.
You Patterson, should have a good time. It's a Super Bowl.
JB and a couple other guys. Okay, real good time. And Bert, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still there, Bert.
Okay, Bert. It took about 10 minutes to figure out who you met at Buffalo.
Yeah.
Okay. Tommy Darby is one of the best, one of all time good guys.
He's great.
He's one of my friends from my heart, and we're all good guys.
How come you didn't want to let your old man sing in the
police and poets in the Corb Bar, pub and restaurant in West Rossway?
Yeah.
One of the best joints in Boston. That's Jimmy Reardon's place, too.
Oh, stop it.
Here we go.
Stop with the names.
Here we go with the names.
These are all, we're all great guys. We all stick together. Those are the guys I'm tied to. Not to mention a few political friends I have in Dallas.
Oh, he's name dropping today. Paulie's all over the place. We got to find that picture, Hardy. You remember the picture being sent.
Scrolling back, our text chain is just
so
much. I mean, I've been ever since he said it, I've been scrolling back, and I'm only back to April 15th so far.
We're all scrolling. We're trying to get to February.
But did we have a separate one going that week without T-Bone on it?
I don't understand. Yeah, probably.
No offense, but I think we did.
Why would it be so offensive for him to be holding a Dunkin' Donuts cup?
I don't know. He's very upset about it.
He said he doesn't go to Dunkin' Donuts.
I haven't been to Dunkin' Donuts since I was 86 from every location and franchise owner in the 48 lower United States. What was the date of the Super Bowl?
Oh God, February 2nd?
Okay, I'm almost there. I'm at February 21st.
So it'd be we'll like get the there. 30th or somewhere.
Now. Oh, it cuts off at February 18th.
Oh,
come on.
Damn it.
Game is February 3rd.
Sorry. Damn it.
I'm going to double check and make sure we don't have a separate chain going.
You know what it is? I also got a new phone since then.
So maybe. It'll be on your phone.
Oh, yeah. Yes. If you kept the photo.
I probably deleted it.
Take a look.
It was a stupid picture. I deleted it.
Get the video evidence. Dan's dates are coming up next.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at bostonscores.org/Noah.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Damn it. I'm a Dapper Dan man.
And now it's time for Dapper Dan's Dates of Distinction.
For Dapper Dan.
Last week we had a rather full Dan's Dates.
And dark.
That too. Oof. Hoping for brighter things this week, if you don't mind.
It's not that bright, but there are dates. So today is April 23rd.
Yes, it is.
And some birthdays on this day. Tony Esposito is 76 years old today. Phil's brother, famed goalie for the Blackhawks.
Espo! Zoe nearly gave Phil Esposito a heart attack last
Jesus
time he was
Christmas.
In town.
Scared the hell out of me.
Michael Moore is 65 today. Chloe Kim, the snowboarder, is only 19 years old today. She's pretty young winning that gold medal. Valerie Bertinelli. I always kind of liked her. How old do you think she is?
Got chubby cheeks.
58.
63.
I'm going to go 61.
She's 59 years old. So, Zoe, she would not like you too much. Stuff that happened on April 23rd.
Stuff.
1616, William Shakespeare died in Stratford-upon-Avon. Which was also his 52nd birthday.
Avon Mass by Jordans?
No, that's Avon Old Farms. Oh. 1789, President-elect George Washington and Martha, his wife, moved into the first executive mansion, Franklin House, New York, on this date. On this date in 1898, Spain declared war on the United States.
Spaniards.
Also known as the Spanish-American War. We responded 2 days later and declared war on them. On this date, 1943, Navy Lieutenant John F. Kennedy assumed command of PT-109, a motor torpedo boat in the Solomon Islands during World War II. As we all know, that boat was later torpedoed and cut in half. And
He was heroic. He swam, saved guys, did all that good stuff. On this date in 1969, Sirhan Sirhan was sentenced to death for assassinating New York Senator Robert F. Kennedy. The sentence was later reduced to life imprisonment, where I believe... Is he still alive? I think Sirhan Sirhan is... I think he lives. Who succeeded Robert F. Kennedy in the United States Senate after he was assassinated, Zoe?
Oh, Jesus.
You know his son. It was Roger Goodell's dad.
Oh.
Was appointed senator from New York by
Chuck.
Governor Nelson Rockefeller.
Chuck Goodell.
Chuck Goodell.
Yep.
And then Chucky Bakes.
And then he was torpedoed by Richard Nixon because he was anti-Vietnam and Nixon didn't like that. So even though he was a Republican, he was unable to get reelected. And that's how Roger Goodell's dad served briefly in the Senate. 1971, hundreds of Vietnam War veterans opposed to the conflict proposed by tossing their medals and ribbons over a wire fence in front of the U.S. Capitol. One of those was John F. Kerry, who later was a senator from New York, Secretary of State, and, of course, ran for president. It was Vietnam vets against the war. It was a very powerful thing in 71. On this date, 1988, a federal ban on smoking during domestic airline flights of 2 hours or less went into effect. So up until 88, you could smoke on the flight. Ah, good times. Remember Johnny
I think it was as recent as a year or two ago when James Harrison came here. He talked about the Pittsburgh Steelers plane that they used. It was one of those old Pan Am ones. He said, our plane had ashtrays.
Yeah, propellers, ashtrays, all that stuff.
When's the last time you got on a plane that had an ashtray?
It's been a while. Sometimes in the bathrooms, you're not supposed to use them, of course, but not good. let's see. On this date in 1998, James Earl Ray confessed to assassinating Martin Luther King Jr., insisted he'd been framed. He died in the Nashville hospital at the age of 70 on this date. Who can name the hotel where Martin Luther King was assassinated?
It
was in Nashville. It was the Lorraine Motel.
And it was not early morning, April 4th.
Oh, yeah. That's one of those. It's like South
Shots
Detroit.
Rang out.
Yeah.
One of those
evening
things.
Time.
A Memphis guy.
On this date in 2005, the recently created video sharing website YouTube uploaded its first clip, Me at the Zoo. It showed the founder standing in front of an elephant enclosure at the San Diego Zoo.
You ever watch one with the chimpanzees and they play raccoon toss?
I have not.
Oh, it's one of the funniest things ever. I'll pull it up before you go.
This date. Last year in this state, a man plowed a rental van into crowds of pedestrians in Toronto.
Remember that?
Because the Bruins were playing them. Had just played them. The series was over when that happened up there, tragically.
Didn't like they, around the same time, too, I thought one in New York City, too, where there was a bike path they went on about the same time. Like, those were common.
I remember the bike path thing. That was later, as I recall. Warren Spahn was born on this date in Buffalo in 1921. Ted Williams hit his first home run for the Boston Red Sox in 1939 on this date. Another bad one, David Halberstam, the great American historian. He died in a car crash in 2007 in San Francisco while he was researching the greatest game ever played between the Colts and the New York Football Giants. He was going to interview Y.A. Tittle that day, and the book was never written. The last thing, Ted Williams returned 30 years later after hitting his first home run. He returned as manager of the Washington Senators at Fenway Park and received a rousing ovation on this date in 1969. That concludes Dan States.
Oh, you almost had a post. You are counting those seconds down.
Look, I've got one from 85 for you.
That's okay.
What do you got?
New Coke.
Oh,
New Coke hit the shelves on this date 34 years ago.
Wow.
There's response, as we know, was overwhelmingly negative.
Either the
most brilliant or most blockheaded marketing scheme of all time. Brilliant is what it was. I don't think it was intentionally brilliant, but it ended up being brilliant in that people felt so strongly about the brand that when they brought back the old Coke by the end of summer, sales were up 10% from the same month the year before, and their stock price soared.
Yeah. Inadvertent. Fortune.
Inadvertent genius.
Yeah.
Do you remember trying New Coke?
Yes.
Wasn't bad. It's all right.
Yeah.
Can you tell the difference between Pepsi and Coca-Cola?
Oh,
like
yes.
If we did a taste test.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Come on. It's a different carbonation.
How about this one, Dan? 1977, Dr. Alan Busey completed 20,302 yo-yo loops. Now, my dad used to tell me that when he was a kid, I don't know if my dad was much older than you are now, but still... He said it was a big deal for the guys from the yo-yo companies to come to the schools, and the schools would let them in and do yo-yo demonstrations. It's essentially this big, like, you know, live commercial.
Wow.
And they would have, like, yo-yo guys
come. Who made the yo-yo?
Like, the Dunkin' guy. And be like, hey, check this out.
They were big in the 60s when I was a kid.
Did Whammo make
Did you ever have someone come to the school and do demonstrations?
I remember demonstrations. See? Yes. Oh. And then I later became acquainted with Yo-Yo Ma. famed cellist. Now, that would fit into our pantheon of
yes,
events.
Yes, it would.
He just goes by Yo for sure. Wonderful guy. Loves the Red Sox. World's most famous cellist. Yo-Yo Ma.
That's right. He's definitely top three.
He's number one, trust me.
He's been debated by scholars for many, many years.
Right.
So we're going to see you guys next week on Friday after I come back from the Celtics-Bucks. I'm figuring it'll be 1-1, and it'll be game three. It'll be Friday night, but that's unofficial. We don't know.
All right, Dan.
All right, see you.
See you, pal.
You're a minute and 41 seconds over.
Over.
Oh,
Frovertime.
We got him today.
Frovertime.
Frovertime. It's 1 o'clock. Let's get to the fourth and final hour with Billy Jaffe of Nesson joining us on the line in 90 seconds.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores.org/Noah.